They introduced their new, really their haul of players that they pulled in the Dennis Smith Jr. trade. You've got, what, DeAndre Jordan and Dennis Smith set to make their debuts, I think, tonight.
No, they played yesterday.
Oh, they played yesterday? Okay.
One of the three games for the Super Bowl.
Well, yesterday they made their debuts, and then you're going to have everybody except Porzingis are going to be making their Mavericks debut here very soon.
Wednesday night.
And that's their next game. So, and that's going to be at American Airlines Center. That's going to be against Charlotte. So, comfortable, you know, environment for them to come in. Can't think of a much softer opponent that is still pretending like they're playing for something.
At Cleveland the other night is pretty soft.
At Cleveland is pretty soft.
Any lower Eastern Conference team at home is pretty good, though.
You know, the Mavericks are not bad whenever you're talking about the few teams that aren't really trying to win games right now. I just think that they're going to have a hard time, even though the future is so much brighter today than it was just, you know, this time last week. I can live with that for some struggles here. So they're going to be in that awkward where they're not going to be bad enough to get the, you know, get a top five pick. But they're also, I think, really going to fall off here.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's be honest, though, DJ. That team was not making the playoffs.
I never thought.
I mean, they had that early push early on in the year where what, they went like 8 out of 9 or whatever it was.
They played very well at home for much of the season. They're still playing well at home.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're, 18-7 at home, 6-21 on the road, 4 games below .500. I'm with you, though, and I mean, it's, you know, come into the year, I thought they'd win 35, 37 games. I kind of still think that's the range. Maybe it's a couple games less since they are going to have issues rebounding the ball the rest of the way. But, you know, there's still reasons to watch. And we should mention Kristaps Porzingis. They did confirm at the presser today, and we'll hear some sound in a minute, that he will not play the rest of the season. You know, whether that's a good plan or not, maybe we can get into that as well. But still reasons to watch. I'm excited to see how Tim Hardaway plays. I fully expect him to start, maybe not right away, but pretty quickly here at the two guard. We'll see, you know, what Courtney Lee has to offer Trey Burke as well. But there's still plenty of reasons to watch, if nothing else. If anything, Luka Doncic is going to even put up crazier numbers because now he doesn't have Wesley Matthews taking crazy shots. They don't have to deal with how do you handle Dennis Smith, and DeAndre Jordan's not in there as well. So plenty of reasons to watch down the stretch and see how some of these new faces play.
I hear what you're saying. Ultimately, in my mind, I'm kind of cutting through it all, and I'm wanting to get to the meat of, are they going to be able to convince Porzingis to sign a long-term deal here?
Yes.
Because, here's the thing. The power in the NBA, the way that as a player, really, that you flex, that you have reached the pinnacle, that any team would do anything to pay you the most amount of money that they possibly can. Now you have all of the guys now, instead of opting for the longest possible term contract, you see that a lot less among the top tier. You're trying to get to that sweet spot to where you do a 2-year or 3-year deal with the first year or second year, and after that it's a player option, and then you can just kind of leave wherever you want to go. That's what these guys are really working toward.
But that's usually after
you get the one giant
contract.
Yeah. That is true.
We've yet to see a guy get that first max offer that you can get after your rookie deal and not take it, a player of this caliber.
I just feel like we're getting to the point, though, to where you almost have to have those player options built in. Otherwise, they're just not going to negotiate. They just use it as this huge leverage, which I'm okay with. It puts teams in a really bad situation, though, to where the Mavericks have to figure out what they're going to surround these two guys with in the next year or two. And if they can't figure that out, or if it, you know, whatever the plan is, doesn't work out as they thought it was going to, then one or both of the guys is just going to leave at the first chance possible.
See, I just don't see it because I think, you know, Kristaps, he can sign for 5 years and $158 million after this year. He'll be 28 years old at the end of that deal. Then that's when you start doing, okay, let's do the 2 years with the third-year player option. And, you know, as the cap goes up, you can opt out and, you know, try and extend and make more money. I get all that. I just don't see him not taking that while it's there.
Well,
especially for a guy who has had injury concerns already.
But
I would be absolutely stunned if he does not, you know, if they don't lock him up long term.
But I think one of the contributing factors toward maybe him being more receptive to accepting that max-out long-term contract is because he's had these injury issues. Is do you, is there a reason why he was so readily available in a contract dump slash Dennis Smith Jr., you know, trade where he already had basically asked to be traded and he was out on the open market? In order to have the opportunity to take a risk on a guy like this, he very clearly has some concerns. And if we're not going to see him until next year, like they said at the press conference, that's going to be 20 months. And that's a, you know, I just don't, it's not the slam dunk I think that everybody's talking about, that he's just going to come back and he's going to be healthy. I think that right now you have to assume that they're doing the due diligence, or that they've done the due diligence, that everything is going to work out health-wise. But he's still a big risk, you know, and if he doesn't pan out, say he hardly ever catches on, say he's a injury, you know, casualty, then you have to figure out, well, that was the plan with Luka. Is he going to want to stick around past that?
Okay, but what were they supposed to do? Nothing?
Oh, they had to.
I mean, that's what I'm
saying.
They
absolutely have to. No question.
And look, of course there's a concern. He's had an ACL tear, but ACL injuries are not nearly as serious as they were 10 years ago.
Agreed, yeah.
And, it, you know, and granted, you know, it's 12 months this week since he had the injury. Personally, I think the guy should play, you know, the last 10, 12 games if fully healthy and cleared. Clearly, that ship has sailed, and they are going to be play cautious here. But, I, you know, and that tells me even further, if the plan is to not play him, they're not concerned about keeping him long term. That, you know, like I don't feel that as a concern. Yeah, is there risk? Of course there's risk. He's 7'3", you know, like we haven't seen a guy that athletic and that big, you know, play for an extended time in the NBA, but we also haven't seen a 7'3" guy be as athletic as him. This is a very unique player with a unique skill set that if it all works out, you could be looking at one of the most dynamic duos in the modern NBA.
Yeah, no question. Harrison Graham there, DJ Ringenberg here, talking about the Mavericks. I think that I was a day or two early on everybody else talking about this, on Harrison Barnes and what's going to end up happening there. I think that now, the way it's leaning, I think that there's a very good chance that Harrison Barnes opts out after this season. And I'm going to tell you why. I think if you look at where he is, he's got the 1 year, $25 million left with the player option for next season. Entering his prime, entering his late 20s, why is he going to choose to play a year in Dallas with nothing guaranteed past that, with his role diminished even further with Porzingis coming back? So at best, Harrison Barnes is going to be the third best option on the Mavs, and that might even at times be generous, and that might be depending on who else they can bring in via free agency. I think that there's a good chance that
would opt in is because he won't see that annually. Now, he might get 4 years and $84 million. He might get $20-21 a year. I don't see a team in the NBA paying that guy $25 million a year.
I wouldn't either. I definitely, if I was a GM, Harrison Barnes has done some good things. I think he lacks poise in the biggest moments of games at times.
He does. I think more than anything, though, he lacks elite-level talent. He is in between a star and a role player. He's more than a role player, but he is not a star. He is what I would call he's a solid NBA starting player. He can get you 15 to 20 points a game, depending on the level of team. On a bad team, closer to 20. On a good team, more like 15. You know,
he is a better off-the-ball player, though. He's not a guy to where you want to dump it in and let him ISO and let him create plays for himself. That's just not his game.
And he's not really great at anything.
And that's why I hesitate to put his time in Dallas, you know, that I really want to be too hard on it, because it's not his fault that he was brought in from a situation where he was the fourth or fifth option and say, you're now the lead guy on a team that's rebuilding that doesn't have much talent around you at all.
Golden State had to get rid of him. The Mavericks needed somebody who could go help them score. They knew they weren't going to be very good, so that was a natural fit there. And I think it, you know, it kind of worked out for both sides, but I think that ship has sailed. I mean, I think, you know, he's had the benefit of being the primary guy for 2 years. Now that's over. You've got Luka. Heading into next year, you'll have at least Luka and Kristaps. I think you're right. It's a natural thing for him to move on, but I just find it hard to believe that he'll turn down $25 million for next year.
Yeah, turning down 25 would be tough, but if he signs 4 for 88, then is he really going to forget that extra, you know, that extra $3 million?
Well, problem is, though, you have to opt out before you know what you're going to get.
I think that the NBA, with the way that money goes, with the age that Harrison Barnes is at, where he's 26, you know, so you're getting it. Whoever signs Harrison Barnes is getting, you have to think, the best years of his career. He's had some experience now for a couple seasons as the lead guy in Dallas. He takes that to a team that has a little bit more around him. And I could imagine a team that has playoff aspirations that's adding him as a third option.
Here's the problem, though. A playoff-level team, like you're saying, is not paying him $22, $23 million.
It only takes one. I mean, we can't get into the matchup right now because we don't know exactly in the offseason, whenever we get into free agency, who's going to be available. I mean, we always talk about all of these huge names that are potentially hitting the free agent market. And I know that it's kind of some people think it's 50-50 of, is KD and Kyrie going to end up in New York? It almost never happens. I mean, we really don't get as many of those blockbuster moves. And I think that we're going to be treated to another. I think Anthony Davis is going to get traded before the deadline here this year. So I just think that there is such a need for talent and that there's just so few of those guys that can really say what Harrison Barnes has done. I mean, he still scores points. The biggest thing
there's so many good free agents this year. That's another thing you have to consider.
There are, but I bet a lot of them stay. I think that for the most part, a lot of guys stay.
But that's still money being tied up to team. Like, at that point, like, there's less money out there to pay the Harrison Barnes of the world. I mean, there's just so, like, Hoops Hype, for example, they list their free agents. They've got him as the 23rd best free agent available. 23rd.
That's rude. That's not very kind of them.
No, I mean,
but I know that the list is
deep. Let's just look at the top 10.
Oh, I know.
Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, Klay Thompson, Kemba Walker, Kristaps, who, you know, he's restricted, DeMarcus Cousins, Tobias Harris, Chris Middleton, Nikola Mirotic. I'd take Barnes over him, but Al Horford, Mark Gasol. I mean, there are a ton of players that you would take over Harrison Barnes probably going to get more money than Harrison.
I like Mirotic for 15 a year more than I like Barnes for 25
22. You know, Julius Randle can opt out. You know, he signed that one plus one deal in New Orleans, which you would think he probably will opt out because New Orleans isn't any good.